I would like you, if you would, if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to open them to Isaiah chapter 40. In a pew Bible, if Isaiah seems to be hard to find, you'll find this on page 714. Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to be reading a few verses there in a few moments. Before we do, though, I want to ask you, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? If you ask a man that, almost certainly his gut response will be, I ain't afraid of nothing, you know? Because men are kind of wired that way, aren't we, guys? There's two things I've never been. I've never been afraid, and I've never been lost, all right? I've been bewildered for miles on end, but I've never been lost. And I've been a little bit startled and a little taken aback, but I've never been afraid. Well, you know, neither one of those are true, right? That all of us deal, and I want to talk about fear today, so let's talk about that. All of us deal with fear. I was afraid, with about a minute 47 remaining when Jerome Bettis dropped that football, I was afraid that Peyton Manning was just going to do another great thing. That just would have been tough to swallow, wouldn't it? More seriously, there have been times when I have been afraid about my finances. How am I going to make ends meet? There have been times when I've been afraid about my marriage. And did Laurel still love me? And she had many good reasons not to. There have been times when I've been afraid, and even in recent times, about someone close to me who was very sick. And that was one of the unspoken requests that you were praying about. You didn't even know who it was, but you were praying about someone who was close to me that wasn't healthy. And I was afraid about what would happen. And you know that fear is not a good place to be. Now, you have to know that for the Christian, generally speaking, fear is different than it is for the non-Christian. For example, as a Christian, I don't fear hell. And I'm not saying that arrogantly. Sometimes you bump into Christians who say, I know I'm going to heaven. It seems arrogant. And we don't mean it arrogantly. I don't mean it arrogantly. I don't fear hell because I believe that Jesus took the wrath of God on the cross. And when I opened my heart and asked, He forgave my sin. And so as a Christian, I'm not afraid of hell. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not looking forward to it. A lot of good things I'd like to continue to do as long as God permits me to do so. But frankly, I'm not afraid at all of dying because I'm a Christian. But as a Christian, there are still things that we tend to fear. I tend to struggle with. One of those things, actually, I'd like to share two of them with you because they're in our passage this morning. One of them is the fear that God is unaware, that God doesn't see something that's happening in my life. You know, I'm going through a crisis, something bad is happening, and I'm like, and you can tell, everybody kind of feels this way, because of the prayers you hear when people pray with honesty, you'll hear them say, God, don't you see this? Aren't you aware of what's going on? Hey, God, look at this. And that's a fear that Christians deal with from time to time in their life is, God, are you unaware of what is happening here? You even see that when you read the Psalms, that many times one of the psalmists, as he's writing a prayer, and he's saying, oh God, look upon me. You're not looking, you need to be looking. Pay attention. Got a crisis here, God. It's a real fear that everyone who's a Christian deals with from time to time. And the second fear that Christians deal with is probably even worse. And it's a fear that God sees, He's aware of what's going on in your life, He's aware of the crisis you're going through, but He doesn't care. You know, okay, God, you see this, but why don't you care? Don't you care that my finances are beyond tight? Don't you care that people in my community have lost significant jobs in the past couple of decades? Don't you care about what's happening with my children? Don't you care about what's happening with my health? And that kind of fear that God sees it, but He just doesn't care, that's the kind of fear that can make you shudder. It's not a good place to be. Now listen. Listen very carefully. There are two things that I need to share with you before I go on in this sermon. And the first one is this. God always sees. He always sees. One of His characteristics is that He is omniscient, so He knows everything. And the second thing I need to share with you is that God always cares. Does Jesus care when my heart is touched, when my heart is aching, when my heart is struggling? when my life is too weary for mirth and song? Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. As the days grow weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. He does. God is aware and God cares, but it doesn't always feel that way. And when it doesn't feel that way, when your way is marked by a nameless dread and fear, when you have fear of what the future is going to hold, you hate it. I hate to be in fear. What I'd love to be is in faith. I hate to be in fear. And so today I want to give you just some guidelines or some guidance to move you from fear, if you find yourself or when you find yourself in a place of fear, to move you from there to a place of faith. Because frankly, a place of faith is where I want to be. When I'm in a place of faith, then I can handle it than when I'm in a place of fear. When I'm in a place of faith, then whatever happens doesn't even matter as much. Even if it's bad, because I know God's in control. I'm just going to hang on to Him and trust Him. So I want to give you some guidance to move from the place of fear to the place of faith this morning. Can we pray before we go on that God will really seal this to our heart? Let's bow our hearts. Father in heaven, many of us need this message now. Some of us have needed it in the past. Most of us will need it in the future. And so I need Your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts today. We need Your Holy Spirit to speak. Use these lips of clay to say what You would have us to hear, to build us up, and to move us from a place of fear to a place of faith. This is our heart's desire. It is what we need. So make it happen in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're looking at a passage. Your Bible is open to it. It's in Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to begin to read at verse 27. The prophet Isaiah is writing to a people whose name is Israel, whose other name is Jacob. In all prophetic form, he begins to say in verse 27, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." I look at that passage and I see within it those two questions and some guidelines on how to deal with those questions. And those guidelines, the very first one that I see is if you're going to move from fear to faith, you're going to have to get real. That's the first guideline. If you're taking notes, you write down letter A, get real. Because that is what is happening here. Often when I say to people, when I see people and I feel like they're going through an emotional difficulty and they're really afraid about the future or the present or what's going to happen or what's going on, and I see them, I'll say to them, "So what's wrong? What, you look, is there something wrong?" And they'll say, "Nothing. There's nothing wrong." And sometimes they do that because it's real personal. They don't want to talk about it, you know? Sometimes they do it because they feel it would be unspiritual to admit that this is really something they're afraid of. That they're really scared. But when I look at this passage today, I see that Israel was really scared. And they say that, well, the prophet notes that. When he speaks to them, in the very first verse I read, verse 27, he says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, why do you complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by Him?" Have you ever felt that way? Man, I have. When you do feel that way, you need to admit it. Jesus admitted it when He felt that way. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He was as real gets. "Oh, God, why can't you take this cup from me? Please, can it be taken from me? Yet not as I will, but what you will." my God, why have you forsaken me? Why don't you see what's going on? Why don't you care what's going on? Jesus was fully God, and Jesus was fully man. And he was very real with what he was feeling and dealing with when he went to the cross. And if you want to move from fear to faith, you need to be real with the fear that you have in your life. Admit it. Don't get spiritual. Don't fake spirituality. But say, right to God, right to his face, God, I feel like my cause is forsaken. I feel like you just took off and you're gone. He already knows you feel that way. You need to admit it to him. The second guideline that I see in this passage is that we need to open our eyes. We need to take a look at God's nature. And that's what Isaiah is saying in the very next verse, verse 28, when he says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Aren't you aware of some things? Open your eyes here. I'm going to tell you some things," Isaiah is saying, "about God." And recently, a couple years ago, I say recently all the time when I mean 5 years back or whatever. But in recent years, something that the elders have noticed is that basically our job in dealing with people in a one-on-one setting is just to tell them what they already know. They're going through a crisis and they know God is there. We just need to say, God's here. They're messing up in their life and they know it's wrong. We just need to be willing to say, you know, you really need to deal with that anger that you have or whatever they're messing up with. You already know this stuff. Just take a look at it and grasp it and open your eyes to it. There's a lot of truths that Isaiah gives the people of Israel, and they're good truths for us. The first thing he wants them to see when they're in fear, in order to move them to faith, the first thing he wants them to see is that God is everlasting. Right there in the second part, or the still toward the front of verse 28, he says, "The Lord is an everlasting God." Think about what that means to Israel. I believe what that means to Israel is it's the same God that hauled your sorry tails out of Egypt into this promised land is still here. He's the same guy. He has not changed. And if he helped you in the past, he will help you now and in the future. Don't be afraid. Trust him. If you want to move from fear to faith, you're going to have to look back at your own Egypt. You're going to say, yeah, God helped me before, and he's everlasting. He can help me now. Another truth that he gives them is in verse 28, he says, he's the creator of the ends of the earth. He made it all. Why is that important? Why is that a big deal for the nation of Israel that God is the creator of the ends of the earth? Well, let me kind of explain it this way. When I lived in Bradford, I had a Ford station wagon. And there was a guy, the service manager of the Ford dealership in Bradford, and I just felt like he was too obnoxious for me to deal with, you know? He just was, I don't know what was wrong, but he and I never clicked. On the other hand, there was a Buick dealer in Bradford, and I clicked well with him. And so when I needed service on my Ford, I would haul it into the Buick dealer and have him service it. Guess what I learned? Buick dealers are really good at servicing Buicks. But they're not the best at servicing Fords. And even if they're obnoxious, Ford dealerships are generally better at servicing Fords than they are Buicks. And so that just didn't work. Why? Well, because they're connected to the manufacturer. They have the specs. They have the books. They have the knowledge. They do it all the time. Well, God is the manufacturer. He is the creator of you. And so he knows what's going on in your life. He has the specs, and he fixes lives like yours all the time. He carries people through storms all the time. He guides people through darkness all the time. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. And a third truth that I see here is that God never gets tired. In verse 28, it goes on and says, he will never grow tired or weary. He never gets tired of hearing about your problems. He never gets tired of you saying, oh God, please help me. And he never gets tired of helping you. And on top of that, he never fails to understand what you're going through. That's kind of the feeling that I have when I'm operating from a fear position, that God just doesn't get it. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what this is like. But I'm looking at verse 28, and it says, his understanding no one can fathom. And if you think about that, understanding and fathom are almost the same words. And so what Isaiah is saying is, God's understanding no one can understand. You can't begin to fathom what God can begin to fathom. So he knows how you're struggling. He knows what you're going through. And if you want to move from fear to faith, you've got to open your eyes to who God is, who he has always been, and who he will always be. He's the one who sees your problems and is there to help you through them. Which leads me to the third guideline. And the third guideline is to grab a hold of God's provision. Grab on to God's provision. Ask God to give you the strength to be victorious. He gives a lot of provision, and these are right here in this passage again. In verse 29, at the very beginning, it says, he gives strength to the weary. So he gives strength to renew you. Do you need that? How do I grab a hold of that, Pastor Steve? You look at him and you say, God, this is difficult. This is hard, and I don't think I can take another minute of this. I don't want to just survive. I want to be victorious, but right now survival seems in jeopardy. Please breathe your strength into me. I need you to do that. I need you to do that. He provides strength to move you from fear to faith. And he provides the power. The next phrase in that verse says, he increases the power of the weak. And all of us at times are weak when we're in fear. God gives you power to overcome that. Gives you power to move from fear to faith. And the third provision is he gives you endurance that's actually superhuman. These next verses are classics. I mean, they're the kind of things that are inscribed on tombstones or inscribed in the front of a church, you know, on a stone somewhere. Look at it in verse 30. It says, even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. How does that happen? Who soars on wings like eagles? Superman does, right? That's superhuman to do that, right? What he's saying there in a beautiful, majestic, and poetic way is a very real truth that God can give you superhuman strength to carry you from fear to faith if you ask him to and trust him to. God's provision is there for you. So when you find yourself in faith, I mean, the outline for this passage is so real. Number one, get real. It's so easy. I mean, number one, get real. Number two, look at God and see his nature. And number three, grab on to his provision. Now, the outline's easy, but doing that's a bit of a challenge, is it not? I mean, hey, preacher, you can say that stuff real easy from up there in the pulpit. But it's kind of hard when I'm down here dealing with this. And so I would like us to take a minute to pray for one another that God would help us move from fear to faith. And I want to ask you to do something that will take some guts, that will take some boldness. Very frequently at the conclusion of a sermon, I pray for you, for everyone. What I want to do is to ask you to make yourself known to this congregation if you need prayer. And then I want this congregation to pray silently for you. The way you will make yourself known is you will, in a moment, you will have opportunity to stand up. And by standing up, you're saying, hey, I'm in a place where it feels kind of scary, and I really want God to help me. I really want him to move me out of here. I need it. And I see it's maybe going to be a short road, maybe a long one, I don't know. I just want you to pray for me. And in a moment, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand. And then the rest of us, whether we're standing or not, look around, see who those people are, and we're going to take just a few moments and silently pray for them. Do you need prayer this morning? You got to get real. You got to admit it. And then God will show you who He is and provide the means to deal with it. So if you're in a scary place this morning, I would like to ask you to stand where you are right now. Okay, now I would like those who are standing and those who are seated as well to look around. This is the one time you get to just stretch your neck in church. Look, turn around, look behind you, look at everybody. I want you to get two things from this. Number one, when you're in a place of fear, it feels very lonely. Like you're the only person who's ever been here. But there are other people who are dealing with similar struggles to your own. You understand that? And God will be faithful to them and to you. Trust Him. Number two, as you have looked around and seen those people who are standing, I would like you just silently to pray for them by name or just, God, all these people, whatever. When I look around, I see people and I know why they're standing. Oh, how my heart aches for you. I don't know your fear, your struggle personally, because I'm not in your shoes, but you've shared it with me. And I know that it's scary. I'll be praying for you personally. Some of you I see standing and I say, wow, okay, they're dealing with some things like I've dealt with. I'll pray for you personally too. I want all of you to pray for one another silently for about the next 120 seconds. So let's do that silently in prayer right now. Why do you say, O brother, and why do you complain, O sister? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Father in heaven, indeed it is so easy to see these guidelines, to read this passage. And yet it takes a supernatural event to move us from the place of fear to the place of faith. For those who stood this morning and for all of us who might find ourselves having such difficulty, I would pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our lives, would strengthen us, would heal us, would help us. Your leading, your empowering, your guidance, your sustaining is something for which we always long and something we always need. We ask you to give it in the name of Christ Jesus. I would pray too, Father, as we go from here today, that our paths would be marked by an awareness of your presence. That we would see your goodness. That you are the everlasting God, creator of the ends of the earth, who does not grow tired or weary, whose understanding no one can fathom. And that you would give your strength to we who are weary and increase the power of we who are weak and allow us to soar on wings like eagles so we may run and not grow weary, so we may walk and not faint. For Christ's sake, amen.